What's up, man?
What's going on, man? I feel like it's been a while.
Has been a little bit of a gap since the last episode. Everybody, welcome in to the Dynasty Football Dominators podcast. What's this, episode 5, I think?
Something like that.
Yeah, man. We got a packed show for you guys today. How you doing, though, man?
Doing all right. I'm actually sitting in my living room. I got the house to myself tonight. The wife and the kid went over to the in-laws, and I'm just chilling at the house. Guess what I'm doing? I'm watching the Cavs. Surprise, surprise, right?
Yeah, that's our thing, man. That's what we do when we podcast. You watch the Cavs, and I just got done building some forts on Fortnite. So
nice.
Feeling pretty good.
You won't be watching the Tar Heels anymore, right?
No. But we are the defending national champions. So
I had to throw some shade in there on you.
Back-to-back championship game appearances. But yeah, guys, we got a packed show. We're going to cover the most recent free agency news. We're going to talk about some trade etiquette, which is, I think, pretty important this time of the year, and then do a little game called Stock Up and Stock Down. So why don't you get us started, man? What's the latest free agency news that you've seen?
The latest thing I seen was Christine Michael.
I'm wide awake.
I'm not, but he's going to the Colts. So that's something, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty meaningless, but I picked him up just in case. I mean, he's a legendary athlete, so we'll see.
He's worth a stash, I guess. The Colts are making more news than that, though. They signed Ryan Grant to a 1-year, $5 million deal, which apparently his foot or whatever is okay. He passed the physical in Indianapolis, but he couldn't in Baltimore for some reason.
Yeah,
it was super shady. To go along with their Eric Ebron signing, 2-year, $15 million max.
Yeah, the Ebron news means a lot more to me than Ryan Grant, but I feel terrible for Ryan Grant, man. Like, it's pretty fucked up. But Ebron, man, maybe. Him and Doyle, there could be a little 1-2 thing going there. He's obviously not going to be able to be, you know, super featured with Doyle there, but it's not a terrible landing spot.
Yeah, I really hope they just draft a line in the draft. I mean, Andrew Luck needs a line. Well, I guess if Andrew Luck even – I haven't heard anything else on Andrew Luck. I'm sure he's throwing and he's on pace to go to OTAs, but that's what we heard last year too. So we'll see. We'll see.
Somehow he's throwing medicine balls but not footballs, which is – I mean, whatever the fuck that means. But, yeah, I'm semi-excited about Ebron, I guess. At least it's – he's not going to be completely irrelevant. Somebody I am kind of excited about, though, is Michael Crabtree. And I know a lot of people are hot and cold on his landing spot. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm more towards the cold. I think the Raiders were probably best-case scenario for Michael Crabtree. And I think the Ravens are just kind of a wide receiver hellhole. So that doesn't really get me too excited. Didn't they sign John Brown as well?
Yeah, but...
So there's
Crabtree's the one there, man. And I know it's not a sexy offense at all. It could be the worst offense in the NFL, but even the worst offense does put up fantasy points, and it's going to be inefficient, but I think he's going to get a lot of volume in Baltimore, and they're probably going to be down. And I think Crabtree's still got some juice left, man. I don't understand why the Raiders chose Jordy over him. Got to be it's definitely a thing. I think Jordy's pretty washed, but I think Crabtree can be at least a wide receiver too. That's probably his ceiling, but I think he can be that. He's pretty cheap too.
Yeah, he's super cheap now, and I mean, he still has the touchdown upside, but I don't know. I'm good on him. I'll hold off.
Yeah, I'll buy him for maybe a late second, maybe not much more than that. But what about Cody Latimer going to the Giants? Does that mean anything to you?
That means absolutely nothing to me.
Moving on, LeGarrette Blount.
LeGarrette Blount, that also means pretty much he's getting, what, $4.5 million to go to the Lions?
Yeah, I think he's going to get a little usage, man, around the goal line, but they're going to draft somebody too, so I don't know.
So are they not going to sign Gore now? They went on with LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah, that's I'm kind of confused about that because I thought I saw that Gore signed, but apparently he didn't. So I'm assuming they're going with Blount. Gore might be going to the house. I don't know.
I would hope so. I mean, he needs to retire.
It's a Hall of Famer, man. Nothing left to prove. Just move on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Who else you got for us? Any other free agents?
I have a couple more gross ones. Oakland signed Doug Martin.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
So that's pretty gross. One that I actually like is Austin Seferian Jenkins signed a 2-year deal with the Jacksonville Jags, and then soon after they cut Mercedes Lewis. Mm-hmm. So I don't hate that.
It's better than the Jets, and exactly. It's not ideal. I wanted him to go to the Seahawks or the Saints, but I feel like he's probably – I mean, I know Moncrief is there now, and that's probably going to be their red zone receiver, but I think ASJ will be pretty heavily featured once they get near the goal line, and touchdowns matter.
Yeah, he's a freak athlete. I love ASJ. So
a stud.
It could be worse. Kind of sticking with the Jets. The Jets signed Isaiah Crowell. What do you think about that?
I think it's good for Crow. I think he's a above average, even if it's just slightly above average running back. And I think he's going to split time with McGuire and Powell. It's going to be a mess, but he can give you some flex upside, I think.
Yeah, I think he signed a three-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. So mm-hmm. they committed to him. Hopefully that means that they're going to go quarterback in the draft and not take Saquon and kill
God,
Saquon.
I hope they need to take Baker Mayfield. If they don't take Baker Mayfield, then I don't know why they moved up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense why they would move up.
If they take Saquon, they're doomed.
Yes, I would. Oh, my God. I'll cry. And then the last one, he actually hasn't signed yet, but this is the most anticipated free agent, I think, out there this entire offseason. That's Terrell Pryor. So he's got it down between the Seahawks and the Jets, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So literally hot and cold. Like, if he goes to the Seahawks, I'm actually excited. Like,
if he goes to the Seahawks, I am more than excited, actually. I don't – not that I think he's going to be, like, a top 10 guy or anything like that, but he's going to be used, and I think he can definitely flash for you. That would be much better than the Jets. If he goes to the Jets, like, I don't understand that for him. I guess it'll be the money thing, but him and Robbie Anderson are pretty similar, and they have no quarterback. So, definitely Seattle, and I think he knows that. He's not going to go play with no quarterback, I don't think. He's almost 30.
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson was recruiting him.
He should
be. From reports that I heard. I mean, they lost Paul Richardson, and I think they only brought in, like, Jerron Brown, which doesn't concern me.
That's a depth piece. That's
exactly.
Not really a featured guy.
So I think if they could bring in Terrell Pryor, I think he has – I mean, Jimmy Graham caught a ton of touchdowns last year, so Russell Wilson's still going to throw a lot of touchdowns. They got to go somewhere.
He's never had a receiver like that either.
No.
He's always had the smaller guys.
Yep. Yeah, he's never had a big red zone.
Like, Paul Richardson was his jump ball wide receiver, and he's not very big. So, yeah, that would be good for Russell. And I own him in a lot of places, so sign me up. Pryor's cheap too, man. Might be the time to buy him now before he signs.
Yeah, Pryor is – I mean, he's dirt cheap. Like, I'm getting him super late in startups. I haven't really been able to trade for him for whatever reason, probably just because he's so cheap, and I'm just offering, like, you know, straight up for him, and I guess I'm not willing to overpay too much. But I think I might start, because I mean he's like 6'6", 6'5", 240. He's mm-hmm. gonna catch some touchdowns. But if he goes to the Jets, then
meh.
Gross. So you kind of have to make your move right now.
Yeah, I've been sitting on Pryor in one league since last year, and we started up. I took him in the fourth round of the startup, so I am not trading him for shit. Got to hold on to him now.
I think that's what happened to most people. They took him super early last year, and now they're just kind of like, I've got to hold on to him because I paid so much for him. So
yeah.
I understand that. He's more of a target of mine in startups rather than like a trade.
He's super cheap in startups, man.
Yes. Very cheap.
Speaking of startups, man, something that happens in startups a lot in the early stages is a lot of trades. And we were going to take this opportunity in the off season to talk about some trade etiquette, some things to think about while you're trading, et cetera. Why don't you get us started, man? What's one of the first things you try to do when you're making a trade?
The first rule of mine is don't put anyone off limits. Like, you can't have a guy like, I'm not going to trade Odell Beckham for anything. That's something that just ticks me off. Like, I usually start by messaging someone. It's really good if, you know, you have like a group me or a group text or something like that going on. You can private message someone. And the thing I hate the most is saying, hey, what would you want for player X? And they're like, oh, no, he's not available for trade. Man, just listen. Like, you never know. I've seen crazy trades. People overpay for guys. And you're never going to get that if, like, let someone overpay. Who cares? Like, I don't understand that. Like, you're not married to the person, but some people are. And I think that's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, man, everybody has a price. Like, seriously, I will admit there's one guy on my roster that I won't trade, and that's Nuke. I can't. I traded him once last year, and I traded back for him this year because I regretted it so much. But other than him, I completely agree with you, and it is annoying. I have a dude in one of my leagues. He's actually a really good friend of mine. He's got like 7 players deep that he won't even – you can't even talk to him about him. And I think you just kind of pigeonhole yourself when you do that because you can miss out on, like you said, a lot of great trades. Like 101 right now, for example, I would be trading it everywhere I had it because you're going to get so much in return. I know that everybody loves Saquon, but everybody has a price. And you got to capitalize on that value sometimes because it's going to benefit you in the most cases, especially with something like Saquon in 101.
Exactly. You would trade Nuke.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I offered you Odell Beckham in the 102,
I'm taking the deal.
That's what I'm saying. So, even like, because I have guys like that too. I mean, there are certain guys I'm like, I would not trade. That just means like, I wouldn't trade for the going price. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to want
more. You have to overpay for that guy.
Exactly. That's fine. That's okay. I was that way with Stephon Diggs, and somebody overpaid just a little bit, and that's all it took. Because there was another dude that I love. There's always someone else that I love just about equally. Probably my guy that's closest to untouchable. That's the word I was looking for, untouchable. Shut up. Get out of here with that. Would be Michael Thomas. Man, I love Michael Thomas. And I only have one share. I only have one share. So that kind of – that makes it even harder to trade a guy like that. One of my favorite players in the NFL, and I only have one share of him. You're going to have to come pretty hard after him if you want.
Absolutely, man. I feel that. But in general, I think what you're saying is 100% factual. Like, you shouldn't have anybody necessarily untouchable. You should at least listen to offers and don't be disrespectful about it. Like, if somebody comes to you and they lowball you for Odell, you don't have to, you know, be a dick about it. Just be like, hey, man, you probably can't pay enough for him. So, you know, we could talk about some other players. There's ways to at least continue the conversation because you don't want to become known as the guy that nobody can trade with. Because once you become that guy, there's no coming back from it pretty much. I mean, and you just want to at least keep – like a lot of times, man, even if I'm not making trades, if I hit up somebody about a guy I'm interested in and he doesn't want to trade him, I'll maybe shift the conversation somewhere else just to build a little bit of a rapport. You don't have to be best friends with the person, but – you're going to be in a league with them. A dynasty league is an investment of multiple years. So you want to keep a good relationship if you can. And that's one of my most important trade etiquette tips is to have a relationship with everybody in your league, even if it's just something small, you know what I mean? Have some type of back and forth so that when you do go to make a trade, you have something that you can build off of, you know what I mean? I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think communication's one of the biggest things whenever it comes to trades. Every now and then you can just, you know, throw out some trades, but most of the time trades happen with, you know, opening a line of communication first, whether it be, you know, you message the person or you send a message with the trade or whatever that be. But very rarely can you just trade back and forth without ever speaking to each other. I found that's kind of hard because, I mean, everyone has different values, especially in Dynasty. Like, maybe in redraft, it's easier, but in Dynasty, the values are all over the place. And, I mean, it goes both ways. You don't want to, like, screw yourself either. For example, like, if someone was trying to unload Terrell Pryor and they came to me, like, I would be willing to pay more than most people for that player. So you don't want to screw yourself either. Like, if you ever send a trade out and it gets auto-accepted in, like, 2 seconds – you probably could have gotten a lot more. So never do that. I always like to kind of shop, play around, you know, send out a couple messages like, hey, are you interested in this player? Just to kind of get a going price for that player as well. Because there's nothing I hate more then whenever someone gets traded and you're like, oh man, I would have paid so much more for him.
God, it sucks. It sucks. That, and that leads me right into my next rule, dude, which is like, I highly recommend that you don't send cold trade offers with no dialogue beforehand. Like, to me, that's a mistake. Like, you need to, like you said, you need to shop around. You don't need to just go to one guy and just lock in and that's the deal you want to make. Nothing else about it. Like you could send an offer, like you said, for example, you could send Odell for, you know, 102, and then you immediately regret it, but that guy already accepted. You know what I mean? You're screwed after that. So you don't be impulsive. Don't rush things. Really think about what you're trying to do. If you have a particular guy, like you said, you need to shop them to everyone in your league. Even if you even if you're annoying about it, it doesn't matter. Go out there and see what you can get for the guy. Don't take the first offer that you get. And that's a really important thing to remember, man. It really is.
Exactly. One of my next points is don't be afraid to ask for help. I mean, there's tons of resources out there. Mm-hmm. There's trade analyzers online. You can find a ton of them. I've used countless ones, and you can put a poll up on Twitter in like 2 seconds. I mean, I love Twitter polls. Sometimes I even wait until after I make the trade. Like, I'm just interested to see people's inputs. Go to a different league, you know, post the trade in a completely different league where everyone isn't like attached to, like, they don't know what's going on. So just post it in there and you're going to get some honest opinions. Like, don't be afraid to ask for help because people don't care to help. I love answering trade questions. That's like one of my favorite things to do. So if anyone ever has a trade question, just add us on Twitter at DF Dominators, and we love to vote.
Yeah, please do. Like, Twitter is the best place to go if you need, even if you don't feel like you need help, because a lot of people that play Dynasty have a little bit of an arrogance about them. They think their opinion is right. So it's good to go to a place like Twitter where the community is so, the opinions are so varied, and you can kind of get another opinion just to give yourself a little better feel for what's going on. Twitter polls are fantastic. And then, like you said, going to other league mates and different leagues, I did that with you, and we ended up making a podcast. You know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly.
Like, so you never know what might happen.
And I mean, you're not always going to agree. Like, if it's close, like, don't get down if someone like bashes you either, because I mean, you run your team, but man, your dog, what's up?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. He's barking at somebody.
My dog's asleep. We have totally opposite dogs.
My dog is a 90-pound pit bull and he has no chill. So
my dog is like a 20-pound Corgi Chihuahua mix and he is nothing but chill. So
yeah, they'd probably be best friends.
They probably would, actually.
Yeah, man. What else you got for trade etiquette as he tries to calm down?
I got one more thing. My last one is, in the end, trading should be fun. I mean, don't get attached to players. Like, trading is a part of Dynasty football. Like, if I didn't make any trades, then, I mean, why even play? Like, that's one of the best parts about Dynasty football is trading guys. Like, I don't understand why some people are just like attached to their team and they're like, I'm never going to go out and make a trade. Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, to me, that's the best part of it, man. Like, especially if you're trying to build a good team, you know what I mean? Trading, if you trade for guys early, you can really turn around your team. I think it's important to make trades to kind of display your vision, you know what I mean? A lot of people, I think, are scared to make trades when they first get into Dynasty because they don't want to make a mistake. The thing that they don't understand is those mistakes is how you learn. That kind of applies to everything in life. So don't be afraid to go out there and make trades. But at the same time, like we've been saying, you don't want to rush anything. Which you can't just keep your team the same. Like, things turn over so much with free agency and trades and injuries. Like, you have to keep shuffling the deck. You can't be stagnant. That applies to real NFL teams, NBA teams, whatever. You can't be stagnant and just set in your ways. So don't be afraid to get out there and make some deals. Make your team better.
I probably lost like my first 10 Dynasty trades. Oh. I mean,
dude, I had lost so many trades.
Like, no idea what I was doing. And now it's kind of closer to 50-50 probably. So, I mean, you're not going to win every trade. Like, things happen. As soon as you trade a guy, something big could happen. And so you don't know. It's like you said, things are happening every day. And I mean, it's supposed to be fun. So just go out and trade.
Yeah, and another thing is trades are not always a win-loss thing. You know, sometimes these trades can take 2 or 3 years to play out. You know what I mean? You have to be patient. Like, if you trade for somebody, like last year you might have traded for Alvin Kamara early in the season because you thought he was good. And then the way the season started, you're like, well, fuck, man, I made a mistake. And some people panic when shit like that happens. And you might have sold Kamara on week 3 because he wasn't doing anything. And then you're going to regret that for the rest of your life. So, you know what I mean?
I got you, man. Another thing I just thought of is you're talking about like winning and losing trades. I mean, you can't go into every trade and not make it unless you're like completely winning. Like,
right.
Be reasonable. Like, the other person's not going to obviously lose a trade. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, trades can help both teams. That's what it's supposed to do. Yeah.
Like, I hate those offers. There's those guys that they always send those same offers. Like, there's always one or two guys in every league that does that with every single trade. And they, like we said earlier, they become that guy that nobody wants to deal with. Because you can't.
Yeah, you can't do that. I mean, there's a guy that I didn't really know in one of my leagues. And he said, I was kind of talking to him about Freeman. And he's like, you know, just send your best offer. And I was like, okay, like, I'll just cut to the chase. And I sent my best offer. My best offer was the 103 and John Brown. And he accepted it. And that was probably the easiest trade I've ever made. But it helped both of our teams because he was loaded at running back and he wanted more picks. And I needed some running back help. And John Brown was my wide receiver, like 15. So, I mean, trades can help both teams. Like, they should. That's the purpose of trading.
Yeah, take a look at other rosters. And if you have extra wide receiver depth, go find a team that doesn't have the same wide receiver depth. And that's even the easiest way to make trades. You go fill a need for a team, and that's what it should be about, a mutually beneficial deal. Doesn't mean you can't, you know, slightly get a little bit more value, but you have to understand that you have to give up something to get something.
Exactly.
Like, some people are stupid. Like, you can definitely get over on people, but at the same time, I feel like it's almost like a moral thing that you should go into a trade, like, trying at least to help the other guy out a little bit. Don't just try to rape people, and definitely don't consistently send offers where you're trying to do that, because there's people that I don't deal with, man, because that's the only type of offers they send.
Yeah, you don't want to get that MO about you, especially not in the startup. Like, you don't want to be the guy who no one can trade with. What do you do whenever you just get a really bad offer? Like, what's your response?
Sometimes I will not say anything. Lately, my new thing has been just sending even worse offers back. Like, I think it was about a month ago, and I think we talked about it on the show, but it was something like 109 and Funchess for like 102 and Mariota or something. So I sent back like Procise for one, I don't know, some shit like that. You know, Procise for 101. I'll send some shit like that if somebody sends me a really bad trade offer, just to let them know how ridiculous I thought it was. If it becomes a consistent thing, I think publicly shaming is an option.
If it's happening all the time, then something needs to be done. I usually just decline it super quick. And then they'll usually come back with something a little bit better, and I just decline it super quick. And then they eventually get the point.
Yeah, you're a nicer guy than me. I like to let them know. Like, it just annoys the shit out of me, man. But yeah, dude, I think we've covered the bases pretty well. But, you know, I think the last thing to take away from this is just be patient, man. That would be my final advice, is don't rush anything, and don't be afraid to change your team's look.
Yeah, it's a long off season. You have time. You don't have to make a trade happen in 10 minutes. I mean, it can be done, and if it happens that way, it happens that way. But, yeah, I've had trades take weeks. Like, it's fine.
And usually those are the best ones, too, where you're going back and forth, and you keep giving and getting, and it works out for the best. So let's move it forward, man, to a little stock up, stock down, a little game you came up with. So why don't you get us started?
All right, the first guy that I want to talk about is, you know what, I'm gonna start on a good note. I don't want to start on a faller. I'm going to go with the stock up. And my first guy on the list is going to be my boy, Davante Adams. So his stock couldn't really get any higher for me. I had him at wide receiver 5. But I feel like he's getting higher for everyone else. Because, one, they didn't go out and sign a big free agent wide receiver. So there was those rumblings that they were going to go out and get a guy and take away from him. And two, Jordy Nelson left. So, I mean, those are both positives for Davante Adams. They paid him a ton. So he's their guy. I think his stock went up over the past, you know, month or two.
Yeah, I feel that, man. I know how you feel about Davante Adams, but I tend to agree with you, dude. I think he's pretty much locked in as a top 7-8 receiver, you know, barring anything crazy. And I don't think Jimmy Graham hurts him too much. Maybe a little bit in the red zone, Jimmy might take some. But as far as between the 20s, I mean, there's no more Jordy, and that was Rodgers' guy, man. So yep. I feel like Adams is really going to get the volume and be able to boost his numbers up. He's been highly touchdown dependent recently. I think he's going to get those yardage and his receptions up. So I think that's a good call. I'm going to take like the T-ball answer, just the easy home run, and just say Allen Robinson, because it's as clear as day. I mean, his stock obviously improved. It's probably too late to buy him, but I think this guy is going to be a top 10 receiver for the foreseeable future. With top 5 upside. There's not really a lot to say about the guy. It's pretty easy to see that his stock is up, but I feel like it needs to be said still.
Yeah, that offense is going to be great for Allen Robinson. As I mentioned before, Nagy and Kansas City, they created some of the most space for wide receivers, and that's something that Allen Robinson didn't have, and that's something that I think he really needs. And if he can get some space at the line, they have some other weapons. I'm sure they're going to go out and get some more. I think that's great. And Mitch Trubisky is a giant leap forward from Blake Bortles, in my opinion.
100%.
So I really like that. I'm going to switch it over to a running back riser. I'm just going to throw this name out there. It's probably not going to mean much to anyone. I'm just going to go with Jeremy Hill. Just because, you know, it couldn't possibly get any worse, but it couldn't get any worse. So he has to rise, right? I mean, no. Yes, he does. You're telling me his situation's worse now?
No, you're right. Okay. It's risen.
It's not flashy. I'm digging deep here. Okay. I'm not like you. I'm not just hitting off the tee. Okay. I'm going for it. All right. He's going to be LeGarrette Blount 2.0.
It's funny you bring up Jeremy Hill, because my first running back stock up guy was Rex Burkhead. And my reasoning for that is, first, obviously Deion Lewis is gone, but the most important reason why I think Rex Burkhead has the arrow up is he got multiple years of guaranteed money from the Patriots as a running back, and they don't do that. They don't do it. He got it. He was excellent last year. He's a Swiss Army knife football player, which Bill Belichick loves guys like that. I think Jeremy Hill will play the similar role to Gillisley. And I also think there's a 50% chance that he doesn't even make the roster. I think it's him or Gilly, one or the other, that's going to make the roster. The other one's gone. I think it's Burkhead, man. I think he gets the first crack. It's him and James White. And they'll situationally use Hill or Gilly, whoever gets on the field. But I won't disagree with you that Hill's stock is up, because – I mean, he was basically dead in Cincinnati. At least there's some hope now for him.
Yeah, I think if anyone gets cut, it should be Gilly. I mean, he wasn't even active after week like 4. He's like,
Burkhead was so good, man.
He's like 3 years older than Jeremy Hill. I think if anyone gets cut, it'll be Gilly.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But oh yeah, I obviously love Rex Burkhead a lot more than Jeremy Hill. I'm not stupid or anything, but yeah, I like that for both of them. Actually, and then James White will show up in the playoffs again. So.
Oh yeah, he's a playoff guy. You can't really start him though. You know what's crazy though, man, is I bet you could go trade for Rex Burkhead cheaper than Jeremy Hill.
No way.
In my home league, that's actually a fact, and I own Rex Burkhead, and it's yeah. Side note, this dude actually asked for 105 for Jeremy Hill the other day. That's one of those trade offers that. You know, that's where you get the MO of that guy nobody wants to talk to. That's how you get there, sending shit like that. Sorry, that was a little tangent. I apologize. I got another running back, though, for stock down. If you want to move to the stock down, we can go back and forth here. But this one I really wanted to talk to, and I want to hear what you think about it. I think LeSean McCoy's stock is going way down. What do you think about that?
I mean, it kind of has to, doesn't it? I mean, what? How old is he? Is he getting ready to turn 30, I think?
It's not even really the age thing for me, man. It's Tyrod. Like,
Tyrod
being there. Like, not only that, passes. But just the way their running scheme, the way it worked, like, you know, Tyrod could just tuck it at any time. I feel like that really benefited Shady a lot. Now he's going to be seeing the boxes were already stacked, but at least you had Tyrod. Now the boxes are going to be stacked with A.J. McCarron. And we didn't even talk about Zay Jones, but they obviously have no skill players outside.
Stock down, Zay Jones. Like,
it's all Shady. And I love the player. I really do. He's one of my favorite running backs to watch. But, man, I would try to sell him right now while he still has that name value. And I don't know what you can get for him. Probably a mid-first in most leagues, maybe a late first because he is older. But I would be selling.
I got you. I like that. Yeah, I also wouldn't be surprised if they drafted a running back kind of high. Even if they don't, they have Chris Ivory there, so he's going to get all the goal line work, sadly. But Shady's not going to get very many touchdowns. What's new?
I'm really glad. Bo Scarborough to Buffalo. How about that one?
Oh yes. Give me some Bo. Give me some Mo Bo. I would love that.
Who you got for us, man? What's next?
You mentioned Zay Jones. Can I use Zay Jesus Jones Christ. As a stock down, pants down, Zay Jones?
Man.
I don't really want to talk about Zay Jones. Let's
I don't really want to joke about it either because I don't know that dude has, like, some mental health issues or, like, I don't know what's going on there. That shit's crazy.
Yeah, like, on a real note, like, I really hope everything's okay with Zay Jones. Seriously, like, that was absolutely nuts. Like, I watched that video.
Cause, it looked like a murder scene.
Yeah, I was very confused. I was like, because at first I was like, oh, it's funny, you know, he's naked and screaming. And then, man, it got serious real quick. I was like, dude, this guy's, I mean, I'm like, he was like trying to kill himself or something.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's like, this is serious now. Like, hope everything's all right with him. So on a lighter note, I'm going to go with stock down for all the tight ends in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I mean, I was really excited to where Eric Ebron was going to go. And then he goes there with another guy that I loved in Jack Doyle. I really, really liked Jack Doyle. I was picking him up in a lot of tight end premium leagues really late. And crap. So,
yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about them?
Yeah, I agree, man. This is pretty clear that, you know, they both can't be as featured as they have been in previous years because now they're sharing a field together. And I've also had this little thing in my heart for Eric Swope for like 2 years. I guess that's done now too. So,
yeah. Oh, Eric Swope! I forgot about him.
Yeah.
I think I drafted him in redraft last year in a league in like the last round.
I probably did too. I was buying into that guy, the former basketball player thing. Is real.
That's exciting.
I tell you, somebody, I got this. I got him on my stock down list, and I feel like this is going to be a pretty hot take because everybody is rising on this guy. But Deion Lewis, dude, I actually don't. I think his stock is not down right now. His stock is obviously up. This is more of a in season thing that I expect to happen. I expect his value to fall when he disappoints people and he's not as featured as he was in New England. And I just don't. I don't think he's going to kill Henry the way people think he's going to, man. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to be – I don't think either him or Henry are going to be great for your fantasy team. I think it's kind of going to be more like a week-to-week type thing. Like, I feel like they'll just kind of play the hot hand more or less. I don't think you're ever going to be comfortable sliding him into your RB2 ever. No. And in New England last year, I mean, by the middle of the year, you were comfortable sliding him into your RB2, so – I kind of agree with that. I don't like hate it, but I would definitely try and sell on him right now for sure. Because I would try and you probably can't sell Henry now. But I like Henry more than Deion Lewis.
Oh yeah,
still. Even close.
I'm planting the flag right now. This episode of this podcast. I know the last episode we broke the news mid podcast, and I was all flabbergasted and flustered and.
By Derrick Henry.
I'm back in. I'm planting the flag that I think Derrick Henry is still a stud. I still think he's going to be a top 15 running back. Deion Lewis was heavily featured in New England with the greatest quarterback of all time and a soft-ass box. He's going to a completely different team, completely different quarterback, sharing the field with a fucking monster in Derrick Henry, who is built for 200 carries. There's just – I just Not that Deion Lewis is not going to be irrelevant. He's going to have a role. He's going to catch some passes, but he's not going to make Derrick Henry suffer, in my opinion. I think he's still going to get his 200 carries, probably more than that, double-digit touchdowns. I'm not worried about Derrick Henry. I'm probably going to go buy him because people are down on him. Deion Lewis had one healthy season his whole career. Just want to put that out there. And his money is not guaranteed. His contract is kind of a mirage. It's not as much money as it looks like. So I'm planting my flag, man. Derrick Henry way over Deion Lewis. I would be selling Deion White.
Yeah, if you can get Derrick Henry for, you know, around the – I feel like he's probably going for like a late – for like a mid to bottom RB2 right now, which is absolutely ridiculous. Crazy. Like, no, you need to go buy him for that. This has been the Derrick Henry roller coaster off season. Like, I bought Derrick Henry before DeMarco Murray left. And in the middle of last season, I held on to him and I sold him really quick right after DeMarco left because his value skyrocketed. Like, he was like the number 10 overall running back. And then now it plummeted again. So now I'm going to go out and buy him again.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
Ridiculous. Like, I don't understand, but I do love the talent there. He's still a beast.
He's going to get it done, man. It's happening. I'm telling you.
So I'm going to go to another stock down guy. This really pains me to say this, but you were talking about a trade earlier, and it involved Paul Richardson, and I really like Paul Richardson, but I think his value's down. I mean, you can't get any better than Russell Wilson throwing you the ball. You know what I mean?
And
that team was incapable of running the football, and he was only competing with Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett for targets. So I mean, his stock has to go down. He went from Russell Wilson to Alex Smith. And now, I mean, they have Josh Doctson and Jameson Crowder. I think overall that's a little bit better than Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett.
Not to mention, dude, Chris Thompson,
who is
probably going to get 80 targets.
He's
going to
get peppered.
Yeah. And then who the fuck knows if Jordan Reed's playing football anymore. So, obviously, I think that's a good call, man. And I like Paul Richardson a lot, but – I mean, I think he had a relatively good season last year. I'm not looking at the numbers, but off the top of my head, I think he had like 50 catches, 700 yards, 4 or 5 touchdowns, something like that. It's going to be tough to get back to those numbers with all those mouths to feed. And I think Washington drafts a running back also to go with Chris Thompson. So, yeah, man, I think that's a pretty good call.
Yeah, he had 44 receptions, 703 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
Dude, how about that? So, that's a pretty good guess.
So, I mean, he did pretty well last year. I mean, he's only 25. So, I mean, I love Paul Richardson. Yeah, I love Paul Richardson. Last year, I bought him in a lot of places. So, I mean, I still kind of believe he's just going to be boom bust.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. He's going to flash. He's going to have big games.
Yeah, if you have a team with like great running backs, I wouldn't mind. Throwing him in there as my wide receiver 3 or a flex because he can still win you weeks. I mean, he can catch, you know, 8 passes for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, but he's also going to have those weeks where he doesn't even catch the ball.
Also, like, I guess one, you know, just playing the devil's advocate with him, if Doctson gets hurt again, then maybe we revisit it and think we might feel a little bit differently about it. But the way they talk about Doctson, man, it's like they really want him to be a thing so bad.
And then why.
Crowder's a target vacuum, and Chris Thompson is he's good. He's really good at catching passes. So
but,
I think that's
but
a good call.
Yeah, but, I mean, Doctson and Chris Thompson both have injury problems.
This is absolutely true.
So, I mean, it's
– and Jordan Reed, that's an injury-prone team there.
It's a conundrum. I don't know. But I still think overall, you know –
on paper, yeah,
Everyone's healthy. His stock's a little down. So I just got a trade offer.
Ooh,
I'm going to get your your take – here. So I'm shopping OBJ just because, you know, why not? So what do you think about this? I need depth. So Julio, Marlon Mack, and Carlos Hyde for OBJ.
It's not bad.
I feel like
he's got any other big name receivers on his roster, or is Julio the biggest one?
No, he's got Antonio Brown, but I'm really trying to get Antonio Brown and Carlos Hyde, but he is not. He is not going for that at all.
I definitely don't think it's a bad offer.
What about Antonio Brown and Rex Burkhead? Would you do that?
even though I like Rex Burkhead, I don't think I would. You just can't trust the Patriots. I do like him, but I think I would need to get a little bit more than that. I like the other trade, but I just don't like Marlon Mack. He was actually on my stock down list.
Really?
Because I expect them to take Saquon. Or if they don't take Saquon, I expect them to take somebody. Geis, Chubb, Michelle, somebody in the second round. I don't think Marlon Mack's going to be much more than a situational player, third down. You know, he's just spelling the other guy. I don't think he can be a featured back. So I'm not really high on him. I like Carlos Hyde, and I like Julio, but it's Odell, man. I think I need a little bit more than that. It's really hard to. What about Davante Adams or Michael Thomas? That's the type of guy I'd be trying to get them plus something, you know, for Odell.
Exactly. I went to the Michael Thomas owner, and he told me that he wouldn't even trade me straight up for OB.
I don't blame him.
So I was like, I can't do that then.
I think Adams would be a good target, man. If you could get Adams in a quality running back or a good pick.
I would, but if there's anyone who loves Adams just as much as me, it's the dude who owns him in this league.
Yeah,
I really wanted like Adams and Sammy Watkins. That'd be perfect.
I'm trying to think of another guy, man. What about like Tyreek Hill?
I have Tyreek Hill. Woo. I tried Mike Evans as well, and that didn't go very well. I'm not trying to like, you know, like I don't have to sell OBJ, but I'm just trying to get like a little downgrade at wide receiver and just get a little extra. But it seems to me that everyone's a little bit too far down on OBJ after that video came out.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to like sell low or anything, but literally my running backs, I have Melvin Gordon and my RB2 is Devontae Booker.
Cool, man.
And my RB3 is JD McKissick, and then I have Matt Breida. So I need some running back depth.
Man, maybe try to, I don't know, maybe go try to trade for like Gurley or Zeke, something like that. Or Kamara, you know, one of those running backs, and maybe the person will be high enough on OBJ where you can get a wide receiver 3 or something thrown in with that. Might be an option.
That could work. Yeah, I'd probably be better off doing that. Not Gurley, though. There's no way.
Yeah, that's probably. Yeah,
and Zeke went 102. See, the top-tier running backs are just ridiculous.
You could probably get Kareem or Kamara plus, you know, a Paul Richardson-level receiver. Maybe some picks, some type of package like that. Maybe that's an option.
Yeah, I'll try that.
You got anybody else in your stock up or stock down, man?
Who did I just say? I just said Paul Richardson, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
You got anybody else on there? I think I have one more.
Marlon Mack is my last one, man. So if you got one more, you can bring us home with that one.
Well, I've got – it's kind of two. It's kind of similar. You'll understand. It's both stock up. So, Crowell is going to be one of them. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I mean, this dude got – did we already talk about Crowell earlier?
We talked about him signing, but you can splurge on him.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'll splurge a little bit on my boy Crow. Like you said, he's an above-average running back. He ran the ball over 200 times last year, so he's a workhorse. And then I think Elijah McGuire and Bilal Power downgrades from Duke Johnson, obviously. So, I think he's going to get more work in – New York than he did in Cleveland. So I like that. And then I like the dude who replaced him in Cleveland. I like Carlos Hyde. I think his stock up. I'm mentioning this trade is kind of, I'm really high on Carlos Hyde. As long as they don't take a running back. I mean, it's one of those things like if they don't take a running back and they just roll with Hyde and Duke Johnson, I like both of those. I like that entire offense though.
Yeah, I like Hyde in general, like, but I don't think he's going to finish as high as he did last year because what did he have last year? Almost 60 catches? Like,
yeah, I think he had 59 catches over almost 1,000 yards. He was like 40 yards away from 1,000.
See, I think he can get the 1,000 yards for sure. I think he's going to get the work. But Duke Johnson is arguably the best pass-catching running back in the NFL. So I don't think he can be an RB1, but I think he's locked and loaded as an RB2 because Cleveland's got a good O-line, and he's going to be the guy getting the touchdown. So I think that's a good call. And Crowell has the workhorse profile. Like, we've seen him catch passes before. He's obviously a better first and second down between the tackles runner. He's actually a pretty good runner. But maybe he can get a little bit more work in New York with those two, you know, average guys. So, yeah, we got cut off by the software, man. But we were talking about Carlos Hyde. You got anything else you want to add?
No, I just want to add, obviously, I love him because he was born in Ohio and he went to Ohio State. So yeah. I have a little extra love. He did have 59 receptions last year as well for 350 yards. So that's not too shabby. But what if they move? I know they said they were going to do this last year, but what if they move Duke Johnson to the slot more? I mean, yeah, it's always a possibility.
They got Corey Coleman, though. They got
they have so
Jarvis.
Many weapons.
Like Jarvis, they have probably the best slot receiver in the NFL now. So that I think that kind of died.
Yeah, they have the best offense in the league. I agree with that.
Dude, they're fucking good. Like, you know, I'm in on the Browns. Like, I'm in.
Like, they're going to be real good.
That's my second team. I'm trying to make that very clear for all my friends so they don't try to hop on that bandwagon later. I've been a closet Browns fan since they got Njoku, and it's going to happen. The Browns are going to be good, and Derrick Henry is going to be great.
Man, like, they're
two hot takes for 2018 are those right there. Browns in the playoffs.
Browns in the playoffs. I don't hate that. The AFC North is down.
Tyrod got the Bills to the playoffs. Okay, the Bills.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
what can he do with actual players on the field?
Exactly. You got any more hot takes?
Well, I just thought of this one. I had one more stock up that I didn't write down or anything, but I just kind of thought about it, and I think it's Stephon Diggs. I think Stephon Diggs is about to be unlocked, and I think I mentioned this on an earlier podcast, but I've heard most people liking Thielen more, which obviously he's had the better seasons recently, but since the Kirk Cousins signing, I see most of the community is higher, like moving Thielen up. But I think it's actually going to be Diggs, man, because he is the dynamic receiver in that offense. He is the more talented one, and it's just a gut feeling. It's not, there's not really any statistical analysis to go with this. I just think Stephon Diggs is about to be fully unlocked, and I know you like that.
Yeah, I have his jersey framed and hanging in my man cave, so you don't have to. It's just, you don't have to sell me on.
Kirk Cousins is so efficient with his throws, and Diggs gets so open. Like, if he's just healthy, I think he's got top 10 upside, like, easily. He was wide receiver one for, what, like 3 weeks last year.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be – yeah, I prefer him over Thielen as well.
Dude, trade Odell for Diggs plus. You could probably get a quality running back to go with Diggs for Odell.
I'm going to go out and try and do that right now.
You might get Diggs a running back and a second. Like, I don't think people realize how good he is. And you could – this is we already did our trade segment or whatever, and this is clearly our longest episode of all time. But you can use things like if you're trying to buy Diggs, you can sell the guy on Thielen. You know what I mean? To get more in the trade. You know what I mean? Hey, Thielen's having a better season than Diggs. Yada yada yada. Maybe you can get a better running back thrown in by depressing his value. It's kind of slimy, a little used car salesman, but sometimes you can do those things, especially when it's a trade and the guy's getting Odell Beckham. He's clearly going to be fine. You know what I mean? So you can try to get more back in return because that is a high-quality piece that he's getting. So you gotta squeeze as much as you can out of there, man.
Exactly. I like it.
But, yeah, dude, I think that's going to wrap us up, man. Why don't you hit the people with our Twitter @s. Let them know where to find us.
All right. You can find me @ Wacky Pappy. You can find my boy Jake @ Dynasty Studs with a Z. And you can hit us up at our podcast @ DF Dominators. Also, if you're listening on iTunes, go ahead and, you know, give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review. Let us know what you think. All that really helps. We've been getting a lot more feedback here lately. We really appreciate everyone who's listening, like all 6 of you. You guys Absolutely. Are awesome. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, so, 6.
I was thinking of doing something. If we can get up to 250 followers before the NFL season, I'm gonna give away a Corey Davis signed mini helmet.
Well, you're gonna do that because we're gonna have 500 by then.
Okay, you want to up it to 500?
Oh, we're gonna have 500 by then, guaranteed.
All right. We'll up it to 500. If we can get up to 500, I'm gonna give away a signed Corey Davis mini helmet. That's gold because he's gonna be a wide receiver one this year. So.
Hey, if we get up to 10,000, I'll give away a Fournette signed jersey.
Gross. Nobody want that.
Oh, you're crazy. But, yeah, man, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Until next time, guys, we really appreciate you listening, and we'll see you soon.
All right, later.
Later.
The The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.